Hey y'all, guess what kind of genre someone asked us to do an episode for?
What?
Latin books.
Yeah. Keep guessing. Oh, here, Michael will tell us.
So we're going to do thrillers. Got it.
I cannot think about this episode or even hear that word hardly without hearing the song in my head. So I had to play it.
Yes, yes. It makes sense and to me.
And now you all have it in your heads too, so you're
That's
welcome.
True.
Welcome to Book Fair. We help thoughtful women find wholesome, life-affirming books for themselves and their families.
Are you tired of picking up the latest new release and finding it full of junk you don't want in your life? You are in the right place.
This show shares curated content, and we do it together within a fun, book-loving community. So pull up a chair at the table and join the feast.
Well, welcome, Book Fair listeners, to another riveting episode of Book Fair Podcast. As Amanda so lovingly started us out, we are talking about thrillers today, which is truly an episode that when we threw out what episodes would you like to hear, one of our faithful listeners said thrillers. I don't know about you guys, but this required a little research for me. This is probably, of all the things we've covered, the thing I read the least. What about
you?
Agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not big thriller people here. So I started out by wondering, what is a thriller? Because it's sometimes I knew thrillers a lot of times are very similar to or maybe even confused with mysteries. Sometimes mystery slash thriller seems like it's kind of the same genre, but I know it's not exactly the same. And what is interesting in the little bit of research I did is that a thriller is actually defined as any book or movie with an exciting plot.
I always think, is she going to die? Is she going to make it? Like, make it might be achieve something even, but like exciting.
Yeah.
So that's, I was trying to wonder what you were going to bring, and that fits my made up definition.
So the other thing here, it says characterized and defined by the mood they elicit, giving the audience a heightened sense of suspense, excitement, surprise, anticipation, or anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And they are generally found in the action, crime, spy, detective, or mystery fiction.
Yeah, I was wondering if this could be rightly defined as a genre, or if it's more a device, a literary device.
It's really a mood. I mean, that's what it said. It's really like that fast-paced, heightened anxiety mood it creates. So I don't think it really is a genre.
Which is funny.
I think people refer to it that way a lot. So it is a commonly used, like, I love to read thrillers. I think both of my sisters read this group a lot. I reached out to them to ask for some books. So when I said, do you guys have some thrillers? They were like, boom, boom, boom. Like, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. And here's a few.
So I wonder if it's more of a marketing genre than an actual, literary genre.
I think that's
probably true. Yeah, it's more of a way that they communicate to readers. If you want something fast-paced, exciting, that's going to have you on the edge of your seat, that's going to make you want to turn the pages, it's a thriller. But if you look at books, a lot of times even on the back cover or, you know, the flyleaf, it'll say this mystery thriller or this spy thriller or this domestic thriller, which is the whole domestic noir. What's really going on underneath the surface of this seemingly normal family?
Of that.
No.
Suspicious enough on the regular without me having a book that's like making me side eye my family members. I cannot. I'll be waking up at 2 a.m. like staring real hard at Charlie. Not good.
You can't really know what someone thinks. Like all that,
no.
stuff like the girl at the door in the window on the train looking at the girl who's on the sidewalk and all that stuff. I don't like that stuff.
But I get why people love that. It's the same reason I love a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. I know I'm not going to die, but I definitely feel like I'm going to die.
And are you talking about
it's adrenaline?
Are you talking about in general or these like family thrillers that we were just talking about?
Well, I think in general, but the family one's the one I can't do, you know?
Yeah.
But I get the adrenaline love that comes from reading a book like this. So,
yeah.
And I also get the desire or just the fun of having a book that just makes you want to turn the pages of something that you don't feel like you have to work at, that you don't, you know, you're not going to have to make yourself in any way read it. Like once you start, you're just hooked and it pulls you back in. I completely get that. And sometimes I want that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I want the roller coaster ride, like you said, Elizabeth. I want every chapter to end on a cliffhanger. I want my heart pounding. I want it to be plot driven. And I just want a light read. And a lot of times I associate a mystery with that too, like we've talked about. But I think there's a place for that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read maybe any of like this marketing genre of thrillers of the last 25 years. I don't think I have. I didn't find any. I'm just afraid that there's a lot of subject matter or language or stuff in it that's beyond my bounds that I like, you know, or that I'm comfortable with. And I just think a lot of this, I haven't touched.
I think that's really valid. And I will say in doing research for this and just trying to find some thrillers that I could read, like I went and stood in my library in the new releases in the thriller, mystery thriller section and picked up books and would just start thumbing through them. And so many of them were just so just filled with language. And I will read a book with some language. Some of the things I'm going to talk about today have some language in them, but I don't want to read something that's filled with it. And a lot of these crime, you know, when it's about gangsters and, you know, crime or, you know, just some of those things, it just tends to be filled with that kind of content that I think, you know, a lot of our listeners try to avoid. So it was definitely challenging. And I, more than any other attempt to kind of do research and find some things, I picked up and put down quite a bit.
I love that you did that. That's really interesting. And I went to Goodreads and Barnes & Noble and looked up thriller books and looked at the top ones and just read some synopses. And I was like, oh, I don't, that seems very dysfunctional. Or, you know, this is like Law & Order SVU, the book. And I don't want to read about that, you know. And looking at the top thriller books of the 2010s, I found a list for that. And it was all that kind of thing. So I'm looking forward to our discussion on this today about some books that we have read and liked. And maybe they're more classic or maybe they are more light, but that are books that we enjoyed and recommend.
Yeah. I remember picking up because, you know, you just see like the John Grishams and the James Pattersons and Michael Crichtons, you know, that kind of thing. And I think in my 20s, I was like, I'm just going to bring one of these on vacation and see if I like it. And I read The Firm and by Grisham and it was fine. But even when I was 20, I was like, that was okay. I don't think I'll read another one. Like, I just wasn't that into it. Like, it just didn't have that much that grabbed me. But more recently, and I think what's interesting about as we talk about thrillers and the other genre I didn't mention that it's often associated with is horror. And I was actually thinking if there's an actual genre that we, I don't know, maybe we will someday, that I think would be really hard for us to do an episode on, it would be horror.
I don't know, guys.
Because I do not read horror. But interestingly, what you were talking about, Amanda, is there are horror books that have some very deep things to say.
Yeah.
Brett has been into some of these deeper horror movies lately. And I'm like, I'm not watching those. But he talks about like what they're about. And I'm like, wow, this is really deep. So
well, A Quiet Place comes to mind.
Yes.
That's considered horror.
Yep.
And it has some really good things to say.
Yes. That's an excellent example. So I think it just depends on the quality of the writing and what, like, true genre it's in.
And I will say, we did a scary stories episode, and there are some really good recommendations in there that might technically cross over a little bit with horror.
But about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, I was listening to a Modern Mrs. Darcy podcast, and she made the statement that if you want to read a spy thriller by a master at the top of his game, even though it's number 16 in a series, it can very easily be a standalone, read The Black Widow by Daniel Silva. And I thought, you know, I haven't read a good spy book in a long time, and I like a good spy movie every now and then. So I put it on my list, and I picked it up, and I wound up reading it right at the beginning of quarantine, and I really liked it. They are well-written, they are fast-paced, but not, you know, not as fast-paced as you might expect. Like, he does take time to build up the situation and build up the characters and set the scene, and I wound up reading that and liking it, and then going back to number 5, by kind of redoing a little research, I discovered I didn't necessarily have to go back to number 1, and he was kind of just, there were some things about the character he was establishing. So anyway, I started at number 5, and during quarantine, I read 5 through 9. And these books are about someone who works for the Israeli Secret Service, and each book takes place in a different country. And I learned so much about the politics surrounding Israel. Like, he clearly is an expert on Israeli politics and history. And you learn about Gabriel Alon, who's the main character. You learn about his family history in Israel and where all of that comes from. You learn about other people on his team and their family histories in Israel and about the wars with Palestine and the surrounding areas that led up to modern times and how that plays into current politics. And then how does that all play into Russia? Like, I'd never thought about Israeli-Russian politics before, but one of these books, it's actually called Moscow Rules, and it's really good. You could actually start with that one too. And it teaches a lot about the politics between Israel and Russia. And then how does the U.S. and their agendas play into that? So it's actually very interesting.
Yeah, I would love that. I was thinking, I kind of assumed I would like John Grisham, but I could, because that's how it's sold to me usually, is what you've just said kind of things. But, and maybe it's not, maybe it doesn't fit together that way. But I love when you get a little bit of like country politics, and especially if it's not yours, and then it's fits into the story of yours, but we've made an exciting story around it. I haven't read a lot of those books, but you telling me that there, I'm like, I would love that. I should read that.
Yeah. And there is, you know, back to the content discussion, it's definitely a PG-13, you know, has some language, has some violence, although the violence in these books is not generally, you know, gory or graphic. It's just, you know, general spy stuff. There is some in like certain scenes when everyone gets all worked up, you know, but he is not the kind of author that it's on every page, mm-hmm, which makes it mm-hmm. readable to me. So if you want 100% clean, probably not for you. But to me, it was workable.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I've heard of that author. I haven't read anything of his, but that sounds interesting.
Yeah, he's a good writer. He's legitimately a good writer. What about you, Elizabeth? Is there anything in this category?
So I asked a few people and then put them all on hold. And here's an interesting thing that I don't run into very often. These were books that had a waiting list, and I maybe waited around too late, just not even considering that, well, this is a more contemporary time period and there's going to be a waiting list. And so I put a bunch on hold and read the first one that came up. As far as like, oh, it's available. So I love Dolly Parton, y'all. I love Dolly Parton. And she wrote a book with James Patterson. So I was like, great, I'm going to read that.
From the description.
No one thought I was going to say Dolly today. Yes. Aren't you thrilled? It's a thriller. I will say the description very much matched. This is this genre. You have a girl who's on the run. What is she on the run from? We don't know. But the bad guy pops in and out, and there are some moments of violence, though you still have these questions about why. Well, who is this person? What is she telling the truth or is she not? And at the same time, you have her trying to become a country music star in Nashville, which is the Dolly element. And she has this mentor, which could be Dolly in real life, you know?
Yeah.
So it was fun. And I mean, James Patterson, very commercial, been around for a long time. I had a lady that used to sit under the dryer every week and either read him or Nora Roberts. And I mean, her face looked like her pulse was 100 million at the moment. She had her rollers in and her eyes big as quarters every week. And I used to think, like, I've never read any of those books. I think I actually used to read Nora Roberts a lot, but I cannot remember a one. So that might say something or it might not. I don't know. But anyway, I liked this book, but I did not love this book. I won't remember this book, but it was fun. I had a busy week of doing a lot of things. I probably would not have sat down and read this book, but it was in my ear and it continued on. And I will say the way they set up the audiobook, probably so commercial, was the reason for it, but it was a terrible idea. I think they recorded all of their parts separately, which maybe is how you do it. And every now and then there would be places that were people were supposed to talk together and it just didn't go well. And they even went as far as to have Dolly's voice be the mentor and a man's voice that maybe sounded like Harry Connick Jr. be the, you know, mysterious hero-ish love interest. Do you trust him? Do you not? Kind of thing. Overall, I just found it fun and cheesy at the same time. And so, like, it's okay for things to be a little bit cheesy, kind of a thing.
Yeah. What's it called?
It's called Run, Rose, Run, and it's James Patterson and Dolly Parton. Now, my mom, and I'm gonna take a risk here because I think my mom reads pretty squeaky clean stuff, and she and two of her friends love B.A. Paris, who is a thriller writer, and my mom is not typically, she'll come and go from being a reader, and the joke is that my dad won't stop reading his book to her for her to read her own book, and so... I don't know. She has to put up with like his interruptions. And so the story has to pull her back to the page. And so she's realized thrillers will do that for her. And she has read like 15 of this lady's books in the last year and loves them and was like, you should read one of hers. Well, I have one on the shelf that I haven't read yet. And I'm going to get to it at some point. I'm going to read it for my mama, y'all. But she loves them. And I would tend to assume that maybe the content would be a little more in place of that author, or at least a manageable level.
Well, I have one more in this more, I'd say more commercial, although this one is well-written. I got this recommendation from David Kern of Close Reads. He owns a bookstore, so he, you know, reads a lot of current things to try to stay up with what's going on. And he recommended this book, last year, called Winter Work by Dan Fesperman. And it is a spy thriller. You can tell I'm kind of drawn to the spy part of this genre. Set immediately after, like literally the week after the fall of the Berlin Wall. Not the Berlin Wall, the Berlin Wall. A little different. The fall of the Berlin Wall. And the main character is a Stasi officer who worked for East Germany. And in the wake of this fall and Germany reuniting, essentially the West is coming in and sort of taking over, and the intelligence community is just in a shambles. You know, everyone's trying to fight for ground, fight for the current intelligence, who's going to wind up with it. And there's also a lot of retribution happening as freedom comes in to East Germany. The secret police and the intelligence people that have been upholding the communist regime are coming under attack. So this man wakes up one day to find that one of his fellow officers has been murdered. And so in an already tense, heightened situation, one of his coworkers has been killed, and he has to try to figure out what's going on and also how to survive and get him and his family hopefully out of the country so that they can make it in this transition from East to West. So high stakes, lots of politics, lots of tension, lots of intrigue, and it was well written. It was really well written. So I recommend it if you would like to try a well-written spy thriller. It takes place in the winter. You'll get very cold reading it. If you live here in Florida, if you're like me, I love to pick up a book that's set where it's really cold during the summer. It like helps me feel cooler. It's in the middle of the winter. He has to go sneaking around at night, and the descriptions of him like trying to trek through the woods in the snow. You know, how do you trek through the snow and not leave footprints? You know, all that kind of stuff. You'll feel very cold.
I thought you were going to say you read it in the winter, like feeling like, yay, we have a winter, but that's totally opposite, but interesting still. I think you just helped me put together something too, Trisha, when I was saying like, I want to try this a little more, but I don't feel like I found it. I think I just connected. And so I'll say it in case this helps anybody else. I don't enjoy a book where there is a female lead who is portrayed as strong, but I don't view her as strong. And the reason I don't view her as strong is because she's immediately hooking up with the first hero man that comes along. Well, how do you know this isn't like the same as all these other dudes? So I'm thinking that government political thrillers might be a little more my genre than some girl running from her life.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because that is what I had here, and that's what I've had in a few others that I didn't even mention, is that I'm by chapter two going, well, this is so dumb. Why don't you just do this by yourself? Like, you keep getting these bad guys in your life. You obviously can't pick them. So I've been the book frustrated that way and can't get enough. I think I just figured that out for myself. So I'm gonna look at that then. That sounds like a good one.
So while we've been talking, I thought of a couple recommendations I could give for modern thrillers. Again, you think that there's zero, but then it's, oh, wait, maybe these two. So one is an author and one's just a title of a book. Colleen Coble. She is a more Christian fiction author, and she has some historical fiction, but she also does a lot. She's very prolific of kind of thriller books. And when I was more sick, I read some of her, and at the time they hit the spot. But after two or three of them, I was like, okay, I got it. That was good. But you might like her. So throwing that out there, it's very clean. And then another one that's also very clean is Beguiled by Deanna Gist and J. Mark Bertrand. Deanna Gist is another Christian historical fiction writer, and Mark Bertrand writes crime. And so they went together on this. And this is a more modern setting, and there's a dog walker in this really nice neighborhood, and there's a lot of thefts that begin happening, and so she gets pulled into that. So there's some mystery to it, but it's also a bit more of a page turner. It's not something I would reread, but I enjoyed it fine when I read it, you know. Yeah. One of those, like you were saying, Elizabeth. So you might, if this is something you're looking for and you want a pretty clean, then that might be a good option for you. So, Trisha, you tell me when you want this. I have a list of classics and then just two specifics to talk about.
Go ahead. I have literary thrillers. So, why don't you go ahead and talk about classics and then we'll do literary.
Ooh, can we go back and forth?
Sure.
I think that's fun. Okay. So I'll throw out this list real quick, and then I'll do one of mine, and then maybe you could do one of yours.
Great.
Okay, that'll be fun. All right, so I've looked at some lists of some of the top thrillers, and I just pulled this list from there that I've either read myself or is on my TBR, and I know it's a good recommendation. So a couple Agatha Christie's were on every list I saw, and then there were none, and Murder on the Orient Express. And
yep.
So we're not surprised about that. Wilkie Collins, The Woman in White and the Moonstone. Those were two of the first mystery detective books ever. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Rebecca, which we have talked about on several episodes. Never Let Me Go by Kazuo Ishiguro, who wrote The Remains of the Day, which is one of my favorite books. I've heard this one is not as good as Remains of the Day, but it's considered in the thriller genre, so I'm very curious about that. The Hound of the Baskervilles. And Murder Must Advertise by my girl Dorothy Sayers. I've read that one. I read it with close reads. It is great. It's really fun. Oh, Lord Peter Wimsey is the best, guys. Listen, he rivals Mr. Darcy. I'm just saying.
Okay. Now, I have read Dorothy Sayers. I would not put her in the thriller category.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see Murder Must Advertise in the thriller category, but it's been a long time since I've read it. So maybe there are some very suspenseful moments. But whether it is or isn't, it's definitely worth a read. The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson. I mentioned this on the scary story, so I won't spend any time on it. But she also wrote The Lottery, which you may have read in high school. It is, talk about a page turner. It is so scary to me. I love it. It's a little more psychological. And then also in the spy category, The 39 Steps by John Buchan. I don't know, Buchan. It has more of the classic tendency versus the modern, where every chapter ends on a cliffhanger. There are some super suspenseful moments, though. So if you like that more under the radar spy kind of read between the lines suspense, it's a really good one.
Yeah, I'd like to read that one.
Yeah. So the first one I have, I just finished it yesterday. It's Something Wicked This Way Comes by Ray Bradbury.
Yay!
Have y'all read this one?
I haven't.
Okay. And both of my recommendations here are shorter books. So maybe even Brett would like one of these. Throwback from our husband's episode. So I was listening to this on audio, and I wasn't listening very closely at first. You know, I'm just was really busy with the first part of the book. But it really started to get my attention, and I slowed down. And I would love to go back with a paper copy and highlight and reread this at some point. It's about two 13-year-old boys who live in Greentown, Illinois. And by the way, I found out this is part of a series called Greentown that Ray Bradbury did.
Dandelion Wine is Greentown, Illinois.
Okay. All right. I haven't read that one. I've heard about it, though. I want to read it. So it begins right off the bat. It is very atmospheric and very unsettling. Like, you know, something weird's about to go down. A circus comes to town, and the forbidding atmosphere in the book just ratchets way up. Oh, I love it so much. There's a mystery to unravel. There are creepy characters, puzzling occurrences, and suspenseful moments. It may not be, again, like the modern where every chapter ends on a cliffhanger kind of thing, but there were parts where I just could not stop listening to it. I had to keep going, even though like the laundry was done and that kind of thing. It is a battle between good and evil, and the evil is very identifiable, and it's very scary and creepy. The villain, I loved this. The villain talks a lot about listen to your heart, and I just love
accurate.
That is such a phrase that should come from a lying villain. I love it. The good is very tempted in this book. There's a lot of temptation and choices that they have to make. And it's talking a lot about time and wanting to go back and relive experiences, relive pleasures and having more power, or wanting to go forward and experiencing those same things. So Bradbury is talking about memory, temptation, being satisfied with where you are in life and with what you have, and especially with who is in your life. He lays out his idea of the best way to defeat evil. And it's not what you expect, but it's something we all have. And here's a little quote that the dad says to one of the boys. Sometimes the man who looks happiest in town with the biggest smile is the one carrying the biggest load of sin. There are smiles and smiles. Learn to tell the dark variety from the light. The seal barker, the laugh shouter, half the time he's covering up. He's had his fun and he's guilty. And men do love sin. Well, oh, how they love it. Never doubt, in all shapes, sizes, colors, and smells. Hmm. And there's lots of chunks where the dad is just imparting these gems to his son, Will. And in this one, he's talking about the privilege of the happy man. Not to privilege the happy man, but to respect the good man. Hmm. There's a lot of nuggets like that in this book, and I did not expect that at all.
That does sound good.
So that was from 1962, Something Wicked This Way Comes.
And I think it's really interesting because we did the Ray Bradbury episode where we talked about Dandelion Wine, and Dandelion Wine is not a thriller. Like it is, it is like a sweet look back at his childhood. I mean, it's like a small town Americana series of incidences about family and community and life. And there are a couple that are a little bit suspenseful. Like there is a serial killer in the town at one point. And Bradbury said he got asked all the time, was that real? And he said, yes, in my town growing up, at one point we had a serial killer. Real. So, yeah, that, you know, there's a couple chapters, yeah, about that. But then, quote, the next one in the series, Something Wicked This Way Comes, is more of like a thriller mystery. So it's interesting that this, quote, series actually has different genres within it.
Yeah.
Yes.
That Bradbury, you never know what he's going to do.
Truly amazing, for sure.
So did you just have one more, Amanda?
I have one more.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, that's fine. So this one I also just read this year, The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. And I think when you did your funny story about going back in time and you'd want to go on our time travel episode, you want to go back in time
so bad.
To your family's home in Alabama when Orson Welles did his thing with that. But this is considered one of the first sci-fi novels and the first alien. Like, we're so used now to these movies where aliens come and invade and we have to deal with it, right? Well, this is the OG. Now, I saw an article that was like, no, it wasn't. There was a book from Australia that was in, like, okay, well, nobody knows about that book. So I consider this one the first one.
Oh my goodness.
This was in 1879. So the main character is just known as narrator. So he lives outside of London. And one night, he sees a falling starling near his home. And several others all congregate to check this out. And some of them there's a group of scientists that are already investigating. And they're there, and they see that it was not a star. It was a ship of some sort, some kind of a device. And one part of it starts to unscrew itself. And so there's like this part that's opening up. And thus begins the invasion of the Martians on Earth. And the story jumps to the narrator's brother who lives out in the country. And so it kind of follows both of their experiences. It jumps back and forth between the brothers. And I don't know if you've ever thought about where is the best place to live if a mass emergency happens.
100% I think about it every day. Every day.
Like an urban environment or country, mountains, middle of the country. So there's a little bit of an element of that between their two stories. So I thought that was fun. But there are some very suspenseful moments. Like, you know, all of these alien movies have a time where someone is hiding and there's like nobody else around and the alien is... Well, so does this book. Oh my word. It is so well written. There is so much tension and like, you don't want to be near these aliens. Oh, so, and like any good sci-fi, he asks questions about what it means to be human. He asks questions about the superiority of one group who goes and invades another group of people. What does it take for a society to fall apart? What holds a society together? Can humanity move on from one of these things? It's great. So here's one quote from it. Never before in the history of the world had such a mass of human beings moved and suffered together. It was a stampede, without order and without a goal. 6 million people unarmed and unprovisioned, driving headlong. It was the beginning of the rout of civilization, of the massacre of mankind.
Oh.
Oh. I highly recommend this one too. It was fun. It's a short read. And there were some really thrilling parts that I very much enjoyed.
That's really fun to hear about. We read parts of it in high school. Like, I remember parts we were doing a unit. Yeah. And we did, I think maybe we just read the beginning of it.
And what? And I don't remember.
I know. But I don't remember feeling like, oh, I really want to read the rest. So I think I've just always been kind of like, I did some of that. But listening to you talk about it makes me want to read it.
I know. Same.
I mean, it was written in 1897, so if you're not used to older books, it might take a little bit getting used to. Give it 100 pages. Give all classics 100 pages before you give it up.
He wrote The Island of Dr. Moreau also, which I would definitely say is a thriller, right?
Yeah, I've never read that either.
Yeah, me either.
Blurred Lines maybe, but I would put it towards that direction.
See, you do have a recommendation, Elizabeth. Yay! Classic, you can take that out.
All right, so we can wrap up today by talking about that rarest of literary gems, the literary thriller.
Now, are these modern? Are they classics?
These are modern.
Okay.
Modern literary thrillers.
All right.
So it's very interesting when you Google literary thrillers, what comes up. But these are all widely considered to be of high literary value, but also page turners.
Interesting.
So I always think that's a really fun combination. The first one I want to talk about is I Must Betray You by Ruta Septis. And she has a couple books in this literary thriller category. But this one I have read. A friend of mine, her name is Katrina, she put this into my hands and said, this is so good. Bring it home and read it. I didn't know anything about it. It is YA historical fiction set in Romania in 1989 in the last year of Ceausescu's iron grip reign.
Oh my word. So my husband moved to Romania for a couple years not long after that.
Oh wow, that's so right.
Automatically, like, you had me at Romanian.
Yeah, and so it's basically shows you like the atmosphere in this book, and it talks about the facts about how many people were reporting on each other for the government. It was like a fifth or a quarter of the population had a handler and were reporting on their neighbors.
Unreal.
Like, you literally could not trust anyone. It was such a police state. And you go in the last months of that into this family situation and this high school kid, and he has gotten sucked into this and been asked to report on somebody. And then you find out essentially that regime is about to topple. So throughout the book, the regime is starting to topple. So it's very, like, ahead with the mood of like anxiety, like definitely has a mood of anxiety. Like, you want to know what's going to happen. You're like, this poor kid, like, he's way over his head. You know, people are dying. Regimes are crumbling. Police are coming, like, so many things happening. Definitely an intense page turner where I learned a lot about history.
That's awesome. That is a really interesting time of history and a place. And that dictator Ceausescu, I think I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah, I'm sure you know how to say it better than me.
He was something.
Oh.
He was awful.
Yeah.
And I love that angle of the psychological thriller in a police state, or like the Nazi kind of environment is the same kind of situation. It's almost like a spy kind of angle.
Yeah, it was really good. Okay, example number two, Bel Canto by Ann Patchett. Have you guys heard of this one?
Mm-mm.
I think I've seen it around.
So she's an amazing author. I loved her book, The Dutch House, which was honorable mention for the Pulitzer Prize the year it came out, a couple years ago. So this woman can write. But this book is based loosely on a real historical event that happened in Peru. Although in this book, she very clearly, intentionally does not specify which South American country you are in. So somewhere in South America, there is a lavish birthday party being thrown for some of the big wigs of the government and for a Japanese businessman that they are honoring because of some kind of agreement between him and the government. And the birthday party, which is being sung to by one of the greatest operatic sopranos of the age, is interrupted when terrorists come in and take over the party and take everyone hostage.
And a diehard moment.
Yeah, but this hostage situation, and this is what happened in real life, lasts for months.
Wow.
They are trying to accomplish something politically by holding all of these people hostage, and it lasts for months.
Uh-oh. Oh my goodness.
So it is a hostage situation that goes on and on and on with a very diverse group of people, some of them from this country. Some of them not. Some of them from Japan. They can't speak to each other. And one of the things I think both of you would appreciate about this is that one of the messages of this book is how music connects us. because the opera singer essentially uses her gift to like bring people together.
Oh, wow.
And to create community and meaning in this really terrible situation.
Yeah.
So that is Bel Canto by Ann Patchett.
That sounds good.
And I'll just quick mention two more in this category. Sweet Tooth by Ian McEwan, which is a story around an MI5 officer in the 1970s who is instructed by her bosses to persuade left-leaning novelists to stop criticizing the West.
Ah.
So she infiltrates through relationship this upcoming genius writer and tries to essentially persuade him to adjust his writing, the views in his writing. So you can see how you have both the spy element, the government element, but then it turns into a literary element. So that is Sweet Tooth by Ian McEwan, and then also American Dirt by Janine Cummins, which is, have you read that?
No, but I've heard it's so good.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It is a story about a family in Mexico, and the husband gets targeted by essentially the Mexican mafia, and the woman and her son have to flee. And so they essentially become, they become immigrants having to flee for their lives to America. So she goes from being a normal middle-class businesswoman in Mexico to suddenly, because of the reach of this cartel, having to hide and flee for her life with her son. So it's intense. There is definitely some violence and some language, but it definitely has something to say about many things and will also keep you turning the pages.
It's a good stack. Lots of possibilities.
Yes. I think even for those of us who, you know, thrillers are not our favorite thing to reach for, we came up with a lot of good ideas today.
Yeah, there's definitely some here that I'm going to put on my list.
So listeners, we want to hear from you. What are your favorite thrillers? You've heard us talk about thrillers today. Classic thrillers, literary thrillers, more commercial thrillers. What kind do you like? What have you read that you loved? And what do you want to read? And specifically, what would you recommend to us? All three of us are kind of on a journey to want to read more that is quality and that is worth reading in this category. So we really want to hear your ideas. What thriller ideas do you have for us? And we have lost Amanda for the moment. I think she may have had an internet problem. So for Amanda, I'm Trisha.
I'm Elizabeth.
And we will see you next time. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this, subscribe to Book Fair Podcast.
Join our private Facebook group. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram or email us at chat@bookfairpodcast.com.
And you can help us continue to grow. Share an episode with a friend, mention us on social media, and leave a review in your podcast app. We'll see you next Tuesday.